Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
This joining us now are our friends Joe and Cindy Farini. They spoke nationally for Family Life's Weekend to Remember Getaway for 20 years, and they've been contributors to Pause for Prayer since 1998, and My Marriage Matters has been a regular thing we do here on this radio station. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, well, thank you. Day. You too, Joe. What did they do for you yesterday, Joe?
Well, we had a real special day. The whole family came together at Kathleen's house, and we just had a really fun time.
I bet she's feeling pretty uncomfortable by now. She's given birth here in just a few weeks, right?
She's ready.
She's ready to go.
But we're not here about that, of course. But again, happy Father's Day. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Bible says about divorce today. But Cindy, let's start by talking about marriage first and today's perspective from society on marriage.
Yes, for sure. And you know, the last few times that we've been on, I keep hearing myself saying, you know, that's for another topic. We would say something about divorce, and we'd say, well, that's for another topic. And I thought, why don't we just make that another topic? So that's what we're going to do today. And basically, you know, I want to just kind of talk first about what marriage is, and then just kind of lead into a little bit about what divorce says before Joe hits the heavy parts of the topic, because he's good with that, with a biblical view of things. But, you know, marriage is supposed to be for a lifetime. It's supposed to be permanent, and, you know, we always remember hearing in our vows, until death do we part. And that this is all part of God's original plan. And so while we may have times in our marriage that are discouraging or disappointing, we have to realize that those are the things we have to try and work through, you know, through things like forgiveness and reconciliation, making those things our goals. But there are things that enter into a marriage sometimes that make it very difficult, and then sometimes, you know, the divorce word is brought up. Now, Joe and I have always said from the very time that we got married, we were never going to use the divorce word between us, that would never be a part of anything that we would ever consider. Now, you know, who knows if we've ever thought about it? I'm not going to say anything. How about
and
you,
and I
Joe?
Won't ask, Joe.
That's
and
right, thank
so, you know, but, you know, marriage is marriage, and marriage can be difficult. And, you know, we hear, you know, happy wife, happy life, and a lot of people say, well, why should that be it? And then you hear happy spouse, happy spouse, happy house. And, you know, that's a good one, because if you are working in a marriage to make things good in your family and then your marriage, you will have happiness, even though I don't think happiness is the byproduct of marriage, because we hear from, I believe it's Gary Thomas who coined the phrase, you know, is it happiness or holiness that we're looking for here in a marriage? So with those thoughts, just a couple of quick things, and that is, that, you know, we are, from Scripture, so that a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That is what marriage is. And, you know, if we don't do what the Bible says, we are going to have consequences. And so that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, if you want to say, because sometimes there's things in marriage, things like affairs, and Joe's going to speak to that in a minute. But, you know, if it's a misunderstanding, or it's, you know, other difficult things that are in your marriage, those are the things that have to be worked through. Is it easy? No, it's not always easy. But God says in Matthew 19:6, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Yeah. And so we want to work from that vantage point to really work at marriage. And I'll tell you what, speaking for Family Life for 20 years, we heard it all. And there were some marriages, and actually one was in such bad shape. And they're friends of ours in life, and I see them on Facebook. And I'm telling you, what God did in that marriage is astounding. So, you know, don't just look at your marriage as like there's nothing left, there's no hope, my marriage is dead. Look at it as saying, you know, there are things we can work on, even if the most difficult things in life have happened in your marriage. Don't put a death to your marriage. Work at it, and really make that effort.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we need to be models for what it looks like to, as best we can, keep our marriages together. I mean, I get why society in some respects is afraid of marriage, because if you just take my family as an example, I would say the vast majority of my kids' friends, their parents are divorced. Vast majority.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I would sure. say so too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I mean, how do you look at that and then go, oh yeah, this is a great idea. You know what I mean? No yeah. one can make it work, it seems. And so we have to be able to model this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, and I want Joe to make sure he gets into the real deep parts of this matter. But, you know, we often look at, why am I not happy in this marriage and why isn't it working for me? But it's not just about one person. It's about you as a couple. And, you know, if there are things, if there's deep sin in a marriage, like things like pornography or drugs or alcohol and or affairs, you know, those things are deep hurts, not only to the person themselves, but to their spouse. And so they are deep hurts, but you know what? God is the God of forgiveness, and we have seen people forgive one another and work toward reconciliation, but it's an effort. And so we want to encourage people, don't put a death sentence on your marriage. You know, you have to do the work. Yeah, it's work, okay. But it's worth it.
Because God's Absolutely. Heart is for reconciliation, right, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Yeah, interestingly enough, the late Tim Keller, we heard him do some of his old preaching, and he says that, you know, people go through rough patches in marriage, and who doesn't have difficult times? But if those people just hang in there for at least 5 years, those marriages almost always inevitably turn mm-hmm. out much, much better.
Right. Oh, wow.
And so it's just a much, you know, it's just a matter of just hanging together and being faithful to those vows. But, you know, but for openness, I'll just say this, Brian. I mean, you know us, and just like our Lord Jesus, we hate divorce. I hate what it does to people. We hate what it does to families. And the ramifications, of course, of divorce are generational, as you know.
Yep.
It impacts not just this generation, but, you know, future generations as well. And as Cindy said, when we spoke at conferences, we've had folks many times come up and try to justify their behavior and, you know, say things like, you know, getting a divorce was the best thing that's ever happened to us, and it absolutely had no effect on the children.
Oh, not
the
true.
Children are doing just fine. And, you know, of course, that two different statements they're trying to give us here. And clearly what the person is doing here, they're trying to justify their divorce by using the children to reinforce and justify their actions. Cindy?
Yeah, and I know adult children in their 20s or their 30s or even their 40s whose parents divorced. And it is difficult for those children, even at those ages. We're not just
yes.
talking about three and 10-year-olds. We're talking about adult children of parents, the parents of those adult children divorcing.
Right. Yeah, yes. So, you know, we've talked to some of those children, and the children are not fine. And I think research is clearly showing that children of divorce are more likely to experience divorce themselves.
Yeah, so
statistics are...
We've got to turn the tide in this for certain. So, Joe, I know you had some stats for us, and as well, you're going to take us through some of the biblical reasons for divorce.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to make it clear for some of your listeners that, you know, this is a real issue, and some statistics include things like, if, you know, women's parents, if they got a divorce, the odds are she's going to get a divorce 69% of the time.
Oof.
If a husband and wife parents divorce, the risk of divorce for them increased 189%.
Whoa!
Yeah. Mm. So the bottom line on this one, Brian, is that, you know, after reviewing several research studies, and there's been plenty of them out there, the conclusion is that parental divorce is one of the best documented risk factors for marriage dissolution. And so I think it really is our responsibility as the church to really understand the need for us to engage with and intervene whenever necessary, and not to brush it under the rug when folks are having difficulties or when we see these marriages dying. You just cannot just kind of add it to an elders meeting and just say, yeah, they're having troubles and move on. Do something about it, you know? And so, the topic for today really is, what are the reasons divorce is allowed biblically? And, you know, the basic position of the church has been that there are two reasons for divorce. One is the physical act of adultery. The other one is desertion by an unbeliever. And the scriptural basis for the two reasons are taken from 1 Matthew 19:9. where Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Okay. And the other scripture verse is 1 Corinthians 7:15. And Paul says that if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. And clearly know that that word leave in that in verse 15 speaks specifically to the act of divorce. And so Paul is, you know, saying that if an unbelieving spouse divorces a believer, that believer is not bound, and you are free from that marital obligation. And one other controversial topic that's coming up a lot in the last couple decades is that in cases of any type of abuse, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, that has continued over time and is threatened to continue into the future, many believe this is grounds for divorce as well. And the reasoning for that is that the damage that abuse causes puts that marriage in a similar category as desertion. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I mean, I think both Cindy and I agree. I think we agree wholeheartedly with that. There have been times in the past where we have, I feel bad that sometimes I just told someone, hang in there, you know, it'll get better. And they're getting physically abused. And I wish I could have bring them back now and say, you know what, that was wrong. That was wrong counsel. And let's think hard about what we're doing here. But either, you know, whatever the situation is, I mean, we all as Christians, we need to just take a deep breath here and just realize that since we as Christians are to be spirit-led people who carefully seek the will of God, I believe a decision to divorce should only come after much prayer, much reflection, and after many efforts of reconciliation. And so it's not something you enter into lightly, and there are serious consequences if you do engage in that.
Now, Cindy, if someone is asking, you know, I'm thinking about getting a divorce, what's the advice you have? What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I would really urge them to get good counseling. And by good counseling, I really do, as Christians, I believe having a Christian counselor is really paramount to getting everything out there, especially from a biblical perspective. Now, that is not to say that there are not good counselors that are secular counselors, because there are. But I think the main issue needs to be that we do this from a biblical point of view. And as Joe mentioned, this whole idea of desertion, or even just being, well, I don't want to get into too many different things, because, you know, we can cut hairs and split hairs on different things and people get uptight about things. But I will say this. Leslie Vernick, and I mention this book so often. Sorry, listeners, you're probably tired of hearing about it, but it's a great book. It's Leslie Vernick, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. And she goes through the whole idea of emotional abuse, physical abuse, desertion. And, you know, when we spoke for Family Life, they would ask us to introduce books and share books and promote them so that people would have good literature and scripture, of course, to benefit their marriage. Well, I would not get up there and speak had I not read the book. So I read every single book that was in the Resource Center that weekend. And I didn't read it that weekend. Whatever was there, I had read previously. Right. And so I would sort of meander around when people were there, and I'd say, if you have any questions, let me know, because I can probably help you nail if this book or that book would be good. Well, Joe would say, you know, can you give me the cliff notes on each of these books? So that's what I would do, except for Leslie's book. I said, you have to read this book from cover to cover, because it really changed our thinking. And I would say, and we're not counselors. So if we counsel someone, it's counseling them to go to a real counselor, not us, you know, but we've mentored them, and we've seen a lot. And we would suggest to them that they get counseling and that they would read this book. And maybe the next time that we get together, we can talk about Leslie Vernick's, how she says to strengthen your core in a marriage, which is so helpful. I think that'll be our next one. But, you know, you don't want to ask the question, when can I get a divorce? You want to ask the question, should I? And really go through all of the things that we mentioned here, including counseling and talking to someone who can help you, you know, put the puzzle pieces back together if it's possible. People who are deserted and mistreated. That's what happens in an affair. And so I really feel like there has to be a good counselor to help you walk through this and really just figure out the pieces in your own marriage. And you know what? Every marriage is different. And both people have to be in counseling. If it's just one, you know, you're going to get some result, but you're not going to get the full result. So the question should be, you know, should I get divorced? And then you have to ask these questions too, like what will the consequences be? You know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. But you have to really ask those questions. Will it be challenging? Yes. Will it be frustrating? Yes. I cannot tell you how many people we sat across a room with and them saying things like, well, you know, all I want to do is divide everything in half and like be done with this. And we'll say to them, you know, in the end, you know what you're going to be arguing about who gets which movie and which DVD and which CD. It's going to be so brutal. And nobody believes us until they go through it. And then we talk to them, and that's what they're arguing about at the very end, you know, all those stupid little things that make no difference. And at what point can you walk it back to what point you could see things starting to fall apart?
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to have to rebuild.
Yeah, I love how you're framing it, too, because it's just because there are allowances for divorce doesn't mean that it's what you should do. Nor is it necessarily what's required of you. Or, some people think, oh, I get to now. No, that's not how that works.
Uh-uh.
It's allowable. But you really ought to ask that important question with a bunch of counselors, not just one marriage counselor, like a professional counselor, but people can give you good advice, like Joe and Cindy, or, you know, a good friend, or whoever it is. You need an abundance of counselors in this decision.
Yes. And Brian, you used the word allowable. Is it allowable? You know, in our society, we just kind of feel like, that's what I want. Why isn't it allowable, you know? And that isn't how this works. But the other thing I would want to say is, if someone is in a marriage where the spouse is on drugs or, you know, an alcoholic and mistreating them, you know, sometimes there's a good period of separation through the counseling period where you can really work on things before you make that final decision for a divorce. But there is one question that someone had posed and said to me one time that I just felt was really meaningful, and that is, do I allow this in my, because you used the word allow, I want to use it again here.
Sure.
Do I allow myself to be abused and hurt physically, emotionally, and being deserted also by all these things that are wrong? And let my children see me allowing that? Do then I say, then you allow this in your marriage? Now, you know, again, we have to be very careful about how we say that. But I think there are some cases that when you bring this all up to the surface, it's desertion. I don't care enough about you, spouse, to make a change that would make our marriage better. And I don't care. So I'm just deserting you and I'm deserting our marriage. So, you know, a good counselor, and I, you know what, we've known counselors who after three visits say, you should just divorce that person, or two visits, and I could name them for you, for several of them, and you know what, that is not the answer. It took time to get where you're at. It's going to take time for it to mend, and we've seen it happen. It can happen, but it takes effort, and it takes two.
Yes. We are basically out of time, but I'm so grateful for your expertise. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. If folks want to connect to you, I know you often post the audio from this conversation later in the week. How do they get a hold of you?
Yes, it'll be up tonight or tomorrow, depending on when everybody can do it, because that's between Ron and our guy, Kevin. Thank you guys so much for doing that.
Sure.
And I will post it on My Marriage Matters on Facebook. And then we always have something through the week there also, Monday through Friday. Sometimes it's a meme, sometimes it's a thought, just something to get you as a couple thinking or laughing or getting kind of serious and really talking about things. And also, we post this also on our website. The audios just go way, way back, and you can look up different topics and see what you would like to hear. And that's on CindyFarini.com or JoeFarini.com.
All right. Thank you both. As always, we had so much fun. Can't wait till next time.
Thank you so much. All righty. Thanks so much.